I've been trying to get all the PowerPoint set up and everything, so how about we have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. God, thank you so much for this time, God, bringing us all here tonight. We're so grateful to be part of your kingdom, be part of something so precious. You know, Vinny was so right that as amazing Times Square is, as amazing as all these other nice sites that are out there in New York City, this is the best place to be tonight. And God, we believe it with all our hearts, and I pray that our hearts could be open to the message. Father, just speak through me and Leslie, God, as we share on how to have great friendships in the kingdom and to really have friendships that glorify you. Yeah. Oh, Lord, we love you so much, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So. All right. Come on, block.
No one took it.
All right, so you guys see what the title of the lesson tonight is, right?
Yes.
So the title of the lesson tonight is What's Good?
What's Good?
Now, for those who don't know, I moved here about a year ago. And when you move to New York City, you start to kind of dive into the culture a little bit, learn a little bit of lingo. And I've noticed that this phrase is said a lot, no matter where you go, right? Like, what's good? And so I kind of broke it down and tried to figure out in what context or in what different ways is the word what's good is said. And I came up with three. And the first one is, there's a what's good that you say to one of your best friends. Am I right?
Right.
Like, what's good? How you doing? Right? And then the next one is, and then there's another what's good that's like, yo, what's good? What happened? That's not something I shouldn't have saw.
Right?
And let me explain this one. There's another what's good that goes. Talking about in the context of friendships.
Okay.
You know, because when I think about that word, what's good, it implies that I want to know what's going on in your life. And that's what real friends are all about. It's really knowing and understanding, what can I learn about your life? How can we be friends? And so let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17.
Okay.
And we're going to look at a relationship, a friendship in the Bible, and kind of draw some points from there and some wisdom that God has given us through their relationships. So we're going to talk about David and Jonathan today. 1 Samuel 17, verse 57.
Come on.
So 1 Samuel 17, verse 57. It says, as soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. With David holding the Philistine's head, whose son are you, young man? Saul asked. David said, I'm the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. After David has finished talking with Saul, Jonathan King became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. So we're going to stop right there. And so here in this passage, we see that David sees Jonathan for the first time, and it says that they became one in spirit. They became friends from, it was like friends forever at first sight for them. And it's pretty inspiring. And I think for me as a disciple, as a Christian today, when I see every disciple, there's just one spirit that I feel with each and every one of you. Of just, this is a brother, this is a sister in Christ. Someone who made the same decision I did. Who decided to persevere the same way I did. And guys, that's the way we should look at each other as disciples of Jesus. Is that, man, we are one in spirit. But I think in this point, what we're going to talk about is four different areas from their relationship that we can put into practice so we can have the friendships that God desires.
Let's go, Charles.
And so with point number one, we're going to talk about initiate. Okay, initiate is the first thing we're going to talk about. And so in this passage, we see that Jonathan, he decides to make the first move. And in any relationship, somebody's got to make the first move, right?
All right.
Somebody has to go, you know what? I'm going to be the one to say hi. I'm going to be the one to say something. And that's what it takes to be in a relationship. Matter of fact, that's what it takes to even be born. Let me elaborate on that. Your mom or your dad had to say, what's good, in order for you to be here tonight.
Whoa.
Right? If your mom and your dad didn't say, what's good, guess what? You wouldn't be here right now. So somebody had to start. Somebody had to initiate the conversation.
Okay, Charles.
And so, in this case, we see with relationships, as much as initiation is important, let's be honest, for a lot of us, that's very difficult. And I can share on behalf of myself, but when it comes to friendships and relationships, my biggest thing that holds me back is my fear. Right? I'm just fearful. And what am I fearful of? And I think the thing that makes me fearful when it comes to starting friendships or even initiating with people is that I have a fear of investing in someone and having to lose them. Yeah. Investing so much time, so much effort, and then with the thought of, man, maybe I would lose them one day. And then they have to go through that pain. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I think for me, there's a lot of fear behind the reason why it could be hard for me to initiate. And you're probably thinking, wait, Charles, you talk to like everybody you see and those different things, but there were a lot of things I had to learn in my walk with God on how to initiate and how to start friendships with people. Mm-hmm. And for me, once I didn't realize they were feared, you know, I would come up with just different other excuses of, oh, well, I don't really know them, or, you know, I don't really know their background, or, you know, there's a lot of things that I allowed myself to believe,
right,
that held me back, and fear just took hold of me. And I grew up a pretty lonely person. You know, you would see me talking to everyone and, you know, laugh, but on a deep level, there was fear that had a hold of my heart. Mm-hmm. That didn't allow me to really initiate, really reach out to people in the way I do now. But God has moved my heart in many different ways, and so Les is going to come up and share an example of one of those things that holds us back from initiating.
Come on, Les.
Hey, Nick, you're just on the road.
Come on, guys. So I'll explain them in a bit. But I wanted to talk about differences. In the last slide, it talked about some of the differences that can really hold us back. It could be gender. It could be personality. It could be race. Different cultures, there can be those differences that make us not want to initiate and jump in. But I wanted to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 through 21 in the New Living Translation.
Okay.
It says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So I was just thinking about a body. Anybody biology or in anatomy, physiology? Okay, majors, okay, cool. And how weird would it be if we all like had one body part? Your body was just one body part. Or maybe there was like disunity in one part of the body, you know, we're just gonna work together and work outside of our feet. You know, our hands and our feet, they're just against each other. It's just weird. But sometimes I think that's how it can be with gender between the brothers and sisters, where it could just be this weird, now we're mixed up, this is great. But sometimes it could just be this weird kind of thing where it's like we're in one body, but we can have this disunity because it's like, well, you're a guy, I'm a girl, like how do we, it's just, it can feel weird sometimes. And I think it could be easy to let that difference get in the way of just having pure friendships with the opposite sex, which can actually be a light to the world.
Right.
You know, friendship isn't just, you know, I see you in the fellowship and then I leave. It's more than that. It's actually being interested in the other person's life. So it shouldn't be that we feel like you know, like maybe for the sisters, like this brother is texting me and is like, oh, he's trying to get at me. What does he want? Why is he texting me? Like it shouldn't feel like that, but sometimes it can. We can question motives because of the world and how, you know, guys and girls really interact. And sometimes the friendships, the motives are not really friendship. Yeah. But I think that's something that can change in the kingdom. Also, I think about how encouragement dates, they help with getting to know your brother or your sister in just like a really fun and great way, that it doesn't have to be like anything romantic, but it's like, I genuinely want to get to know you and who you are. And I think it's a great thing that the kingdom provides. It's just a safe way to be able to get to know our brothers and sisters. So I just wanted to share about these guys. All of them are my friends, of course. Some of them are newer relationships, some of them are older relationships. But as far as initiating, I'll share. One day, I actually called Charles. And it was so weird. I was so anxious, but for once. And I was like, you know what, Charles? Like, I don't know how to say this, but basically what I was trying to ask him is like, you're the only guy that's in New York that's in the ministry, and I just want to be your friend. And I couldn't really say the words, but he just pretty much took the words out of my mouth. I'm like, yeah, you just want to have like a cool relationship. We could talk about ministry, life, and everything, and it's no pressure. And I was like, yeah, like that's exactly what I want. And definitely it's something great, you know, having the ministry to be able to work together. But, you know, Charles is someone I definitely respect a lot in his spirituality, his life, some of the things that I know about you. So I'm grateful for that friendship, you know, or even with Nick, you know, he's been my friend, I think next year will be like 4 years of friendship. Wow, it's been a long time. But Nick has been someone who's been a friend to me who always initiated no matter what is going on. Like, even now he's dating and, you know, like, which I think is so awesome, bro. Friends. And even when I was dating, like, he still initiated with me and still kept that friendship no matter what. It didn't get awkward or weird, but he really valued my friendship. He valued my life, and I always appreciate that about you and our nicknames and stuff. You know, like, even Giuseppe, you know, he's one of my friends who prays for my mom every day with the things that are going on in her life, and he always asks, like, how's she doing? What's going on? Like, I appreciate that so much. Or even with Joey, you know, like, one of the things that we do is just like always have a check-in of just like, how's it going? Just with family life and being able to talk about that. Or, you know, like Aaron in the middle, the yellow, you know, like when I'm having a hard time, like he'll just like call me. It could be like, I don't know, 7 o'clock in the morning. He just calls and he just listens, you know? Like I appreciate all these different relationships that I have, whether it's just being a listening ear or we just have fun together. There's been times like Giuseppe and Jimmy, like we went to go see, It too, like we went to the movies. And it was just so cool because it was like, wow, like I got to just hang out with my brothers and I felt so safe. They took care of me, they made sure I ate. They would not eat unless I ate. So whatever I wanted to choose, man, I got to choose, which is really cool. And just being able to have just brother relationships of people who just care for me. And I know pretty much what I'm praying for them for, whether it's their family or with school and everything, because I just intentionally ask and I initiate, what do you want me to pray for? What can I, you know, like, just really care about for you in your life? But I know it's something that I love my girlfriends, and I'll talk about them later, but I knew that I wanted brother relationships too, that I wanted it to be balanced and I needed it. And I think back to this scripture of just, I can't just look at the brothers and be like, I don't need your friendship, I don't need you. I need them as well. But I think it's something that I'm so grateful that I got to initiate, and some of the brothers initiated with me, because it just made my friendships that much more well-rounded. So. Amen.
Awesome. Great stuff. And so let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Let's think about, okay, why do we initiate? Why is it so important? And this scripture really gives us the reason why and the example of why. So in 1 John 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Why do we love? Why do we initiate? Because God initiated with you. Guys, if God waited for you to make the first move, would you be a disciple today? No. would he still be waiting for you to initiate with him? God, he had to make the first move. He had to set the first example. And think about it. When you were called in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 30, Paul talks about how we were dead in our sins. We had no reputation, like we had nothing. So guys, when God initiated with you, you had no money, you had no status, you had no identity, you had none. And yet God didn't make that an excuse to not initiate with you. He still decided to come out and reach out and love you. Set up the people that's in your life right now that are helping you spiritually, that are your best friends right now. God set all that up. Why? Because he first loved you. Guys, how would the world be changed if you decided to initiate today? What lives will be changed? What people out there that have no one to talk to will have a relationship because you decided that I'm going to say something and I'm going to initiate? Guys, let's initiate like God did with us. Let's really see some amazing things happen with that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Point number two, spiritual. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I love to have fun. I love to, have fun with my friends and all that. But man, if your friendships ain't leading you to God,
right?
You got to really ask yourself, is this a healthy friendship?
Exactly.
1 Samuel 20, verse 42. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord." Saying, "The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever."
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like they sworn on their relationship in the name of the Lord. That's bold. I'll be honest. I've never done that before. I never walked up to somebody and said, "You know what? In the name of the Lord, we're gonna be best friends for
now." Dude, come on.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I would hesitate to go that far. Being honest. But I think the reality is, relationships have to be spiritual. And here's some couple scriptures you can write down. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, "Bad company corrupts good character." Right? So who are you around? Who's around, the people you bring around yourself? What do you associate yourself with? And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be friendship, but I think it talks about company. There's so many things that can be company. It doesn't have to be people. What do you watch on TV? What are you watching on a daily basis? Is it helping you to be more spiritual? Right? What are the company that you keep around you? Proverbs 13:20, it says, "Walk with the wise, and you will become wise." Man, right. This scripture literally said, matter of fact, you ain't even gotta say nothing to a wise person. Just walk with them. Go to the bodega with them. You might actually just learn something on the walk to go get a chopped cheese, if you know what I'm talking about. See, I'm really getting familiar with New York here. You know? Chopped cheese.
Come on, chopped cheese.
But here in Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Hey guys, the amazing thing about iron sharpening iron is that they can't sharpen themselves. If it only takes one piece of iron to be dull in order for it not to be sharpened.
Wow.
That's it. But if you're only surrounding yourself around people who are not sharpening you, you can't expect to be sharpened. You can't expect to grow if your relationships aren't spiritual and leading you to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like trying to, there's a dull end on a knife. I don't know, you ever tried to cut steak with that? It just doesn't work. You got to sharpen it. You got to put them together. Well, in Proverbs 27:6.
Come on, Charles.
It says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. All right, we're going to put up the slide real quick. Okay. Yeah. Those are my guys right there. So this is a picture of, my closest friends in my life.
Where's Kyrie?
Rob, Matt, Mark, and Kyrie. And I tell you, man, I don't know where I would be today without them. And there's been so many times where I wanted to give up on my faith. There were times where I wanted to just kind of throw in the towel. I just didn't feel as faithful. There were times where I was in just a lot of sin that I needed to talk about. And never, not one time have I ever not felt accepted by these men. When I shared my life with them, when I shared my weaknesses, and like never, I could never pick a time where I didn't feel loved, accepted, and pointed to God by these men. I'm just so inspired by them and their faith and what they've done for me.
Yeah.
And I'm still a disciple today. They're a huge part of that.
Yeah.
So I want to say I love each and every one of you guys.
Aww.
And I really appreciate you guys a lot.
Love you, man.
Some of y'all waiting for me to cry. I actually cried on my way up here when I was reading this. So it's all out now. You know? But I really appreciate you guys. And so at this time, Lizzie's gonna come up and share a little bit about example music.
Together. That's how it was created, and that God brought these friendships together that we have. And doing God's will is what brought it about, and they're spiritual because of that. And it's not hard to make superficial friends. You do that at work, you do that at school, you know, you talk about, I don't know, something dumb. But, you know, but it takes time and work to build spiritual friendships. It takes intentionality, you know. Doing godly things together, it helps. You know, like I remember Shauna and I, how we met was in New Jersey. I thought when I was an intern that I would just be in Long Island and, you know, help the mission out there. And they said, nope, you're coming to New Jersey. And Shauna ended up being my roommate, and we had to share one bed for the whole entire summer. And I remember so much of times where she kept me up playing some dumb farm game on her phone, literally laying in bed, and I hear, "Really, girl?"
She's bringing in the harvest.
Oh my gosh! It's just
she's bringing in the harvest.
This is ridiculous, you know. She saw what we go on trips, we travel, we left the country and gone together. She's someone that I call when I feel tired. You know, I'm just like, I can't even think right now. And then Daniel, don't make me cry, you know. But Daniel, I can't even think about our friendship without you. You know, you just bring so much fun to our friendship, and just the way that you have just opened up your heart to us has just been, I just can't imagine our friendship without you either. But I think when we are doing God's will, God will bring the friendships. Yeah. It won't even be something that it's like you have to fight hard to find. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go out there sharing your faith, the person you're sharing your faith, you know, with side by side, that could end up being your future best friend. And that's what happened to me. You know, so I just want to encourage you that God desires for us to have deep friendships, and friendships that not just when we're in the fellowship here and then we don't talk throughout the week, you know, like yeah. He wants us to have friendships when things really get real. Like they're going to be there for you and point you towards God. They're going to have a scripture ready. Like your coworker, your classmate might not be ready. They might not even know what to say. But when you have those spiritual friendships, even when they don't feel like they know what to say, they can point to a scripture. Yeah. They can point and help you out. You know, and those are going to be the friendships that are going to get you to heaven. So I just encourage you to just invest in the people that you have here, because these are the ones who are going to really be there for you when things get rough and when things are great as well.
Amen.
Awesome. Great job, brother. Okay, great. So from that point, guys, I want to ask you tonight, do you have spiritual relationships that are getting you to heaven?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Okay.
Guys, that is the best investment you could ever make. Guys, getting spiritual relationships is going to get you to see God one day together. Amen. Point number three. It's crazy because I feel like this point where we're at. Vulnerability. Man, I feel like. So we got to do part two, Les?
Okay.
So yeah, vulnerability. 1 Samuel 20, verse 41. Says, after the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. When they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most.
Hmm.
Guys, we need relationships where we just gotta cry together sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? Like just relationships where it's just like, I can be myself, I can be real about what's going on in my life. And part of the big reason why I even got close to the men that are in my life is because I was able to really be real with them about my life.
That's right.
The things I had going on in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like a lot of men in this world, they're too prideful to be real about what's going on. Because the culture of men in this world is, I gotta be a macho man. I gotta make sure I got everything together. But what we see spiritually is that spiritual men are able to cry and be real about the emotions that are going on in their life. It's actually stronger to be a man that's real about their feelings.
Right.
It's actually a weak man who's not.
Wow.
So as men, the men in the culture today, we gotta get good at being real about, hey bro, this is what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going through. And we need those relationships. And I remember one day just feeling so down, so discouraged. I remember coming home, I had the worst, you ever had the worst week of your life you felt like sometimes? I just cried, literally opened the door and I'm just crying. Left the door open, left the keys in there, couldn't find them later. But I'm like, man, I gotta cry, I gotta weep. And so I'm sitting down and then all I see is a head just poke out the side of the door. Like, what is that? And so it was Matt Rupert, you know, peeking over. And then he just sees me crying, and he's just, you know, a little shocked at first, but at the same time, in that moment, he made a decision to come sit with me.
Yeah.
So he sat with me, and he just asked me, and this is what he did. He had his hand over my back, and he was rubbing my back.
Oh.
Like, yeah, man, I'm getting vulnerable here, guys. He rubbed my back. And he was just like, bro,
come on, Matt.
What's going on? Like, just talk to me, you know? And he's like, look, I'm just here to listen to you, if that's what you need.
Wow.
All right. So I told him everything that was going on in my life at the moment, and I don't know, I just felt better. You ever just had to, you ever just felt like, I didn't need to just talk about stuff, man? Like, and that's what I felt with him. I felt like, man, like he created such a comfortable environment for me to just share and to be real and to be real open about what's going on in my life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12, it says, let's go back a little bit. So Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other. But pity And the word pity, I actually thought, and you might think this too, is that pity means, well, that's just too bad, or, oh. But what it means is to have sorrow and compassion towards. So the scripture is saying, pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Mm-hmm. This scripture is talking about, man, how much compassion I have for people that go through the difficulties of life and have no one to talk to.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what the scripture is saying.
Wow.
Pity, like, it is, man, there are so many people out there that go through so much in their life, they have no one to talk to.
Yeah.
No one to relate to.
Right.
In this passage, we see that we need someone to be able to lift us up, to be able to hear us, to be open, to be honest with, and to not be willing, and to be willing to listen to us. And guys, here's the thing. Here's one thing that I did wrong, I'll be real. Is that usually when someone is being real about what's going on in their life, my initial instinct is to try to correct them.
Come on, Charles.
Or to try to, like, do something to fix it.
Yeah.
God, sometimes we just need somebody to not do that and just listen.
Come on, Charles.
To what's going on. And some people be sharing stuff, I'm like, could we cry together? Because I don't know what to do. Right? There's a situation we don't know what to do.
For sure.
So we just need people to just listen to us.
Yeah.
And to be with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, lastly here, for sake of time, we're going to roll into our fourth point. Amen? You guys with me?
Yes.
All right, sweet. So, fourth one is loyalty. Loyalty.
What is that?
Okay. I don't know what that is, but amen. So loyalty. Here's the thing, guys. You guys are awesome. You guys are cute. You guys are beautiful. But let's be real. You don't always feel like being loyal all the time. Can I be honest? As wonderful as you are, being loyal is difficult. Because there's going to be some things that people are going to do that are going to hurt you. And guess what? Welcome to the world. It's not a surprise. Guys, loyalty is the number one needed thing in this world today. Because in our culture, it's like if something bad happens, you're getting cut off.
Yeah.
That's the way the world solves problems. But let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. Let's see what the scripture says about how it's supposed to look like in the church. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Oh, that was hard. You know what's even harder? And patient.
Right.
Ooh. Bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
Amen.
The world says, okay, you get some issues, all right, boom, I'm done with you, that's it. The Bible says, bear with one another.
Yeah.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Bear with one another in love. And so the scripture is talking about we have to make every effort to fight for our friendships. We can't give up on each other too easily. Guys, giving up is probably one of the most sought out things we see in this world today. People start college, and when things get hard, they give up. People start things in their lives, businesses, and the minute something goes wrong, they give up. Guys, we live in a culture that loves to give up. But in God's kingdom, it's we make every effort. In relationships, we're going to do whatever it takes to keep our relationship strong and unified.
Yeah.
So Leslie's going to come up and share a little bit about fighting for relationships.
Oh, another slide.
I just realized that. I think I have like 10,000 pictures on my phone. It's crazy. Give me 1 second. Okay, cool. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, New Living Translation. It says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And I think for me, seeing the value in a relationship and not giving up and is what really helps. Like if I see that something is valuable, it's not gonna be easy to just slip out of my hands. And I think that's something that really helps me with my relationships, even with a lot of these women as well. Some of them, we're not in the same region or in the same church or sometimes not even in the same state or life stage. But I think what helps is sometimes life can just get in the way, you know? For example, even with Jeanette over there with the braids, one of the things that connected us is just prayer. She was one of my campus students, and we would just pray every day. And her and I are different. She's a vegan. I am not. She's a poet. I am not. You know, like we have a lot of differences. But God is what brought us together. So we would, I don't even know what time we would do it, but like I think 3 times a week we would pray early in the morning. And it wouldn't be just like, okay, let's just pray and get off the phone. Like sometimes it's like, girl, I just had this weird dream. Let me tell you about it. Or just like whatever is on our heart, we would just talk about it. And it went from just something that we thought was gonna be like 5 minutes to like talking on the hour. And it's like, girl, I gotta get off the phone. But as time went on, you know, there would be kind of ebbs and flows to our relationship, you know, like things get in the way. Or, you know, when I started dating, it's like, okay, we kind of got a little distant, but we just try to connect. Or, you know, she's now in the singles ministry and we kind of got distant, but then we connect. This relationship I fought for because she's someone who really does help me spiritually a lot. Even if it's Marco Polo text, I'm like, hey girl, what are you doing? Because I see the value in this relationship. Or, you know, even I think sometimes it can be hard when you feel like you're checking on someone, but they don't really check back on you. But that just never stopped me. Like, you know, like sometimes people are busy or sometimes, yeah, they're maybe not really great at maintaining the relationship, but that just never stopped me from still hitting them up. Hey, what can I pray for? You know, let's hang out. Let's just do things. And I think when we don't give up on people, it can help them. Like if you keep hitting someone up, hopefully they're gonna be like, okay, like I need to make time for this person because they keep wanting to hang out with me and hitting me up. I gotta do something, you know? But I think that's what's really helped. Or even with Jessie in this lower corner, she's a married sister and has 2 kids. And we always find time to hang out. This woman will not let me pay for anything. I don't understand how. I don't know where she gets the money from. But we go to the spa. We go out to eat. We got our hair cut together and shaved our heads together. Like, we be out here doing stuff together. And I love that relationship and I fight for it. Even though she's going to move, like, I'm still going to fight for that relationship because she's been there, you know? But I think the more that we fight for these relationships and just place value on people is going to, it's gonna help us to keep these relationships for years to come and not give up on them.
Yeah. Come on. Amen. So, yeah, continue on this point. Making every effort is so important, guys, because when you think about the end of your life, I think one of the biggest regrets is to look back at your life and wish you could have been more. And I wish things could have worked out. I wish things could have, you know, turned out in a better way. But what's encouraging is that things can change no matter what relationships are at in your life right now. Things can change today. Mm-hmm. Efforts can be made today, and we can really see some incredible things happen. So I'm gonna leave you guys with a couple of practicals, just kind of from all the points together. And guys, these practicals are gonna seem very like, oh, really? I could have just Googled that. You can, actually, because that's kind of what I did. So here's the practicals. That's a good practical, right? So see somebody and just say, hey, what's good?
Yeah.
And see what happens, right? So that's good.
The first one's good. The first.
Yeah.
So in here, one of the practicals is just walk up to someone, have a conversation, and just share, ask questions about this common interest. I mean, all of us here are mostly college students, right? So there's some similarities there. There's some things that we, you know, have familiar interest in.
Familiar made a word
there.
That's okay.
But yeah, just take some time familiar to talk size. To somebody. And honestly, this is one thing I needed. I'm usually around somebody who's very out of themselves and loves to talk to everybody. And I'm just like, all right, where we going now? How about if you're that person, bring your friend with you?
Yeah.
Be like, hey, let's go. Let's go hang out. Let's go meet some people we haven't met yet. Mm-hmm. Right? And that, who knows? You can meet your best friend tonight.
Yes, right.
You can meet, yeah, like you can meet them today. They're in this room, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Some of your best friends are in this room now that you haven't even met yet.
Go find them.
So go out and take that. Number two, get a phone number. Man, I already know what y'all think.
Explain that.
Don't let the communication just be on a Friday night. That's what I'm saying. Talk to somebody, exchange numbers, and keep stay communicating throughout the week, or try to set up a phone call, try to set up a prayer time.
Yeah.
You know, like Leslie said, it was prayer that they had nothing in common, but their prayer life together, that literally made them close. And it could be just a prayer life. It could be just a prayer that you have with somebody. Right? And lastly here, really important. Guys, just have fun.
Yeah.
Just have fun. Everything ain't gotta be so serious.
Right.
Just have fun. You know? And actually, Chelsea's actually trying to help me to grow in that.
Come on.
Because I'm not a big guy in the spontaneous moments. I'm like, I gotta get my planner out. We're doing this at what time? Okay, cool. But you know, for her, she's very spontaneous. She's like, yo, let's go. Like, yesterday we went to go get ice cream and french fries. Yeah, you can tell my reaction was a little wrong. But you know, we did that. We went out, we went and got it. We took a couple disciples with us, you know, and it was a great time. But guys, build memories and just have fun together.
Yeah.
But guys, like,
yeah.
I think one day I would love to have a book of just a bunch of pictures of just memories that I have with me. You know, and I remember when I left New Jersey, I was actually given a whole pamphlet of memories of all my 6 years in New Jersey. And pictures, notes, letters. And I cherish that thing. It's like the Bible, and then I read that thing right beside it. Because it encourages me. But guys, those are a few practicals I want to give you guys. And guys, let's decide. Let's put those into practice tonight. You know, let's really have some great fellowship. And so guys, to build friendships that are last, you have to initiate, make the first move. Second, they have to be spiritual, about God. Three, you have to be vulnerable, being open, being real in your friendships with one another. And lastly, you have to stay loyal. Even though things get hard, we have to stick in there and never give up on each other. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.